Our featured guest this week, we are joined on the line by Amy Brenneman, an Emmy-nominated actress who we've seen and loved for many, many years in a number of just truly, truly amazing shows. Judging Amy, NYPD Blue, and so many others. Amy, thank you so much for calling in and being part of The Bigger Picture.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I would just have to say, we love so much that you've done.
Now, wait a minute. You mentioned all the TV. Sure. Not all the TV.
No, you mentioned a couple. I mentioned two.
You didn't mention Heat.
Oh, is that a favorite of yours, Dave?
Ooh, Heat. That's one of the greats. And I understand you didn't want to be in it because it was all guns and guys.
Yeah, man. I'm a girl and
yeah.
I have guns. So I was like, what am I doing in this movie?
But this is Heat.
It is Heat. It wasn't Heat when I first read the script.
Right.
It was like, okay. And I just come off of NYPD Blue, and
yeah.
But before that, I was like in a funky little theater group in New York, and we were, you know, deconstructing Chekhov, and to me the idea that I was on camera at all was hilarious and even sillier. So I met Michael Mann and felt very comfortable with him, and he said, "Why don't you like my script?" And I said, "Well." I don't understand why men have to resort to these guns. I literally can't, like, I don't know who these people are. I don't know why they act the way they do. And he always said that at that moment, he knew he had to cast me in the role that I played, which is the one person in the movie who says, "I don't know why you're doing what you're doing."
Right. One person with a normal person's perspective on things.
Now, why didn't Robert De Niro go with you? Why did he go back to the hotel and kill that guy? He should have just gone left with you, and then he would have been fine.
That would have made him a much nicer ending to that.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Not good of a film.
Which is a classic, and I mean, you've done so much. You look back. I always have to ask actors and actresses, you look back on things like Heat. You had an amazing, amazing run in probably the best years of NYPD Blue that were kind of a fever dream of TV before the second golden age, one of the great, great things that were on in the mid-90s. Do you ever look back on the things you were in and think, wow, that's something that's going to live on? People are going to be watching that in 10 years, 20 years. People are going to be watching Heat in 100 years on Mars. You know, how do you feel about that when you look at your body of work?
Super proud. I mean, we had a screening at the Academy, I guess, last fall, and I agree with you. I mean, that moment when something becomes a classic. I mean, the thing is, you don't really know. You don't really know what's going to last. Nobody does,
no.
Right? What I always get attracted to is I just always like to push the envelope. You know, I'm sort of bratty that way. And if things feel like just a filler to me, or oh, let's imitate this other thing, I'm like, that's
right.
Like BS. You know, so I know I'm always attracted to the rabble rousers, and I'm a bit of a rabble rouser myself. You know, and then it's like, well, whatever happens, you've swung for the fences. You know. So I'm never going to be embarrassed of like an impulse. But, you know, I will say that there's, you know, from my, you know, I've done other movies. This one movie, I won't even mention. I mean,
Please. Good. Don't mention it, but tell us the story then.
No, and I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so special.
Right.
And it's an incredible experience. And, you know, lots of times our experience as actors, you know, when I'm not producing.
Right.
I just do my part and then bye-bye footage, you know. And
you just show up.
A movie that is near and dear to me, and I was like, this is going to be great. I went straight to video.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It must be hard to get a script and even to shoot your scenes and not really know until like a year later or many years later. Are people going to watch this?
The fate of many actors, well-known actors.
Well, that is why many actors, including myself, become producers.
Then you control it.
There you go.
I don't need to control it. I'm a natural collaborator. It's my impulse isn't like, let me do it myself. It's like, I got to have my hands on it till the end. You know, it's just too weird to send it off in the sausage factory. You know, it's like I just have to be a part of the process.
Well, the fate of many actors is that they spend the rest of their lives hating the thing that they're most famous for because it's boxed them in. It's what they are to everybody. Do you feel that at all? Are you like
boxed in by something?
Do people think of you as Judging Amy and nothing else?
No, I mean, it's funny. I mean, I probably more than anything else. But I created that, so I
right.
be like being boxed in by my own creation. You know, I mean, I'm incredibly proud that that was indelible because
well, you should be.
The tone of that really came out of my head, you know. And then I was lucky enough to find a writer in Barbara Hall and these amazing actors that I worked with. I mean, I will say at a certain point with Judging Amy, when that ended, I wanted to. I mean, frankly, the demographic of that was. Some of my peers watched it, but a lot of Tyne Daly's peers. So I thought, I'd love to plug into a younger demographic. And then I was able to do that on Private Practice. And so the Private Practice people don't even necessarily know me from Judging Amy. You right. know, there's some crossover. And then the Heat fanboys are always...
well, yeah.
They're down at Comic-Con, they come in thick and fast.
yeah. They come in big and excited. And, you know, the NYPD... And it's funny, too, because, you know, I'm sure most actors feel this way. You know, if I, you know, if somebody says, hey, you know, aren't you an actor? And I say, yeah. And what? And I literally try to size them up, you know. They're a dude. I usually say, oh, Heat.
Yeah, I was in Heat.
I was like Judging Amy. You know, you kind of try to... see where they fit.
Now I have to ask you about your current project is The Leftovers. Now that's very much kind of this golden age of TV now. How do you find that as compared to the other stuff that you've been in that was more broadcast TV, network TV? How is it being on a show like The Leftovers?
It's pretty different. I feel really lucky to be on it because, you know, coming off of Private Practice, which was, you know, if you're going to be on network, like, no better person to work for than Shonda Rhimes, you know?
Boom. Yeah,
and yet,
boom.
And yet still, the network rules apply somewhat in that they kind of protect their series regulars.
Right.
But there's kind of only so far you can really, really, I mean, Shonda really pushes it quite far, you know, but... You know, they like you to look pretty, and there's sort of a box that you kind of exist within.
Hmm.
You know, I always laugh because on HBO they'll throw you under the bus.
Oh, absolutely! Boom, you're dead.
You never know what's gonna happen, and you know, when I first did Leftovers and. You know, Damon Lindelof, who I'm mad for, but he, you know, I live out here in L.A., and I have, you know, kids that I'm raising. And so he said, you know, and in the first season of Leftovers, I didn't speak. And so he said to me, he said, here's why you should not take this job. And I said, okay. And he said, it shoots in New York, you have no lines, and I'm not going to let you wear any makeup. And I was like, all right, you've just completely seduced me.
Of course, yes, that's a hard sell. Yeah.
So then I go to do it, and here's my dirty little secret. Like, we, on Private Practice, which is, you know, a lot of Shonda shows have a glamorous quality, and so on Private Practice, we would have the quote-unquote no-makeup look, and I was like,
right.
Oh, definitely, like, I'll have the no-makeup look, which means, like, a little bit of mascara and a little bit of lipstick, and then on HBO, it's like, oh, no, we're not effing around.
This is no makeup.
So tell us about... Rules of Seconds.
Your costume drama
opening next week.
I know. I just came from rehearsal. Oh, it's so wonderful. It is so wonderful in every way. It's a wonderful piece. The collaborators are amazing. And, you know, it's one of those things like John Polono, who wrote the script, has figured out a way to talk about our current cultural and political moment through a historical context. So
1855, not very promising.
Did they find an 1855 Donald Trump that they could use as a political figure?
They didn't find an 1855 Donald Trump. Well, they kind of did, actually. But it's more about this idea of machismo, frankly, right? And so he sets the piece in this war. It's 1855 Boston, and it's all about dueling. And he said it.
Ooh,
He said it then because apparently, you know, there was all this kind of, you know, it's a little bit of like what Hamilton touched on. There's all this sort of ritual
right.
and rules about how to basically, if you're like incredibly, and it's all men. It's all, you know, it's all women cannot be part of this. And yet, ultimately, you know, you're just trying to, you know, blow somebody's head off.
Yeah.
And they stopped it in the Civil War. Was so bloody and the carnage was so upsetting that dueling was over. They never wanted to touch this stuff again
right.
based on what they saw in the Civil War, which I thought was really interesting. So this was sort of like the very tail end of this tradition. And it's funny. It's, you know, I play this woman that's sort of kind of, you know, trapped as most women, as most people were, frankly, you know, by the kind of socioeconomic situations that, be it you're an immigrant, you're an upper class, you're this, you're that, you know, but everybody had their little place that they had to be in. But it's funny, it's violent, it turns on a dime, you know, almost every project that ever really grabs my heart, and I would put Private Practice in there and Judging Amy in there, it turns on a dime tonally, right? So you're just, when you think like, oh, this is really funny or this is a warm moment, it's an incredibly violent moment, you know, and it just has such confidence. And Joe Bonney, who's directing it, I've just tracked her for a long time, and I just can't believe my luck. I'm so thrilled and pushing the envelope.
Which
I'm
is
absolutely pushing the envelope.
All right,
and, you know, there are corsets involved, so that's all.
Well, if you want to, you want a costume. Yeah, exactly. If you want a costume drama, it doesn't sound like The Leftovers, and it doesn't sound like Shonda Rhimes.
No, it doesn't. And also, it's that thing of like, you know, I mean, I come from theater. Most actors come from theater,
right?
You know, blah blah blah. But then you can, you know, you can not do a play for a little while, and, you know, the truth is, even as nervous as you might get on anything in front of a camera, you know, the worst thing that happens is, like, you flub it up, hey, cut. There's always this moment when it's like, holy shit.
Oh, no.
I can't take this again.
Now, I have to ask you for the details. For our listeners who want to go out, buy some tickets, see some of that live theater, how do they do it?
Okay, look, I'm going to look at my thing right now. They should go. It's at a theater called LATC, which is Los Angeles Theater Center.
Absolutely.
And they should go to thelatc.org. And there's a number, actually. It's 866-811-4111. And they should come. And they can see me afterwards, and we can have a glass of wine.
Hey, wow.
The other thing, it's super social.
I'm sold. I'm there. Awesome.
This sounds great. I want to thank you so much, Amy Brenneman. Sounds like an amazing, amazing play. I want to encourage friends and neighbors, all of you out there, to go online, phone up, buy tickets for this. Amy, we've loved you in everything. We're going to love you in this play.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being part of the bigger picture.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Friends and neighbors, we're going to take a short